fell in love with the lifestyle.
So funny.
Black shades, nightclub. She my own fuck, she don't love me. Lifestyle. Strapped up, but I'm iced down. All white crib with the black towel. She don't wanna love me. Lifestyle.
When I asked what people would like to listen to, the word lifestyle was given. What is lifestyle? I decided to find out what the definition was. Lifestyle is the interests, opinions, behaviours and behavioural orientations of an individual, group or culture. Leaves a pretty wide scope, doesn't it? So it seems to cover everything a person or group likes to do, watch or hear. So over the next few weeks, I'll try to do some informational lifestyles. Oops, good luck, eh?
It's my lifestyle, it's my lifestyle. It's my lifestyle, it's my lifestyle.
Hello and welcome to Lifestyle. I'm John Pepin. Now, what does the 31st of October 2020 mean, or what is significant about the date? Here's a clue.
I paid my income tax today.
Yes.
That was I Paid My Income Tax Today by Gene Autry. And, of course, it means that your tax return is due in on the 31st of October 2020. It's the date that you are required to complete and send in your tax return. If you are unable to get your return in by the due date, contact the tax returns if an extension can be approved. If you have a registered tax agent, the lateness may also be approved, but failure to lodge the return on time may apply a penalty. Who can complete your tax return? A family member or friend, but they cannot charge you a fee. Then there's Tax Help. It's a free service provided by community volunteers trained to help people on low incomes prepare their returns. However, having a look through the phone directory, etc., I can't find any of the Tax Help people in Colac. And only a registered tax agent can charge you a fee for preparing your tax returns. However, you can claim the fee charged in your return. Sleepy LaBeef there with "There Ain't Much Left After Taxes." And how true is that? Now, let's have a look at when can you expect your notice of assessment. If you're lodging your assessment online, 2 weeks. If you lodge on paper, that is by mail, 10 weeks. But remember also at this time of the COVID-19 and everything, it is more likely to be a few more weeks because the mail seems to be up in the air here, there and everywhere. Do you need to lodge a tax return? You can work through the taxation office online. And do I need to lodge a tax return is an online tool. Or if any of the following means applies to you, you must lodge a tax return. I'm going to give you a couple of the reasons why. One of the reasons is during 2019 to 2020, you were an Australian resident and you paid tax under the pay-as-you-go, PAYG, withholding or installment system, or had tax withheld from payments made to you, excluding mining payments. You were eligible for the seniors and pensioners tax offset, and your rebate income, not including your spouse, was more than $32,279 if you were single, widowed, or separated at any time during the year. $31,279 if you had a spouse, but one of you lived in a nursing home or you had to live apart due to illness, and $28,974 if you live with your spouse for the full year. And also, you are not eligible for the seniors or pensioners tax offset, but you received a payment and other taxable payments, which when added together made your taxable income from taxable income and loss on your tax returns more than $20,542. You do not pay tax on most child support and spouse maintenance payments. And as from the 1st of July 2019, the tax offset for net expenses for disability aids, attendant care or aged care is no longer available. Now, looking at vacant land, no deductions for vacant land. You can no longer claim tax deductions for the cost of holding vacant land, such as interest incurred on loans to acquire the land, land taxes, council rates, and maintenance costs. These charges apply to costs incurred from the 1st of July 2019, even if you held the land before that date. However, deductions for vacant land can still be claimed where, for example, the land is used by you in a business carried on for the purpose of gaining or producing assessable income. The land is used or available for use in carrying on a business, for example, primary production, and the land is vacant due to an exceptional circumstance such as fire, flood, or substantial building defects that occurred within the last 3 years.
Maybe I am sorry, I ain't got no love to make.
That was Blues by Robert Gray. And you're listening to Lifestyle. I'm John Pepin. And right now on OCRFM, we're going to continue on a little bit more about tax. I haven't got much more at the moment, but we'll see what we can do. COVID-19 measures and support. Specific measures and support are available for individuals impacted by COVID-19, including JobKeeper payments for eligible employees, early access to superannuation, which was not assessable income, the introduction of an optional simplified method from the 1st of March 2020 to the 30th of June 2020 to claim 80 cents for each hour you worked from home to cover all deductible running expenses. Specific advice on the tax treatment of employment payments made because of COVID-19. For example, if you take leave, are stood down, or lose your job. And then there's specific advice on the tax treatments of residential rental properties, income and expenses. Oh, well, sales tax, it doesn't matter what year or how far back you can find sales tax or tax is involved. And that one, of course, goes back a lot of years. Now, the last thing that I've got here at the moment is where to send the return to. And it's to the Australian Tax Office, GPO Box 9845, Melbourne, Victoria, 3001. I'm going to go through that one more time, where to send the tax return to. It's to the Australian Tax Office, GPO Box 9845, Melbourne, Victoria, 3001. And if you were doing it online, of course, you do it straight through there. It's 2 weeks for that, 10 weeks at least for mailing. And hopefully that's helped you a little bit. You're listening to OCRFM. I'm John Pepin, bringing you some lifestyle. And now Jonathan Graham is going to be very nice and have a talk to a lady called Deborah Legg, and it's all about swimming.
Joining me on the phone, I have one of the people from the Colac Swimming Club by the name of Deborah Legg. Good morning to you, Deb. How's it going?
Morning, Jonathan. Very good, thanks.
Thanks for having a chat this morning.
No worries.
But let's talk about the Colac Swimming Club, shall we?
Yeah, that's good. Good topic,
yeah, because I dread to think how long you must have been involved with the Colac Swimming Club.
Yeah, I started when I was 10. So
it's only been 10 years then. Okay, I get it.
Yeah,
right, okay.
Look, I'm at least 21.
Yep, okay.
21. Yeah, so it's been quite a while. It's a big part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of my family's life, because Mum and Dad and my sister are quite involved with it over the years too, so... Yeah, no, it was good. It's been really good to me.
Yeah.
It's been good to our family, so and glad it's to be there.
One of those sports that, you know, all sports are very good for your health, but swimming in particular, has some amazing health benefits for muscle development and breathing as well for people who are, you know, maybe running around isn't the best for them. There's lots of different swimming techniques that help with, you know, asthma and things like that.
We had a few people with asthma come along, and it's quite amazing the impact it has on their health, how much it improves their breathing. It's not a cure, obviously, and you've got to go to your medical professionals and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But I think just because you have to use your lungs in a different way when you're swimming, so I think that, I don't know, I don't understand the medical side of it, but we get a lot of asthmatics through who enjoyed sport, and it improves their breathing as well, so that's great. And also, we have several sorts of kids. We either get the ones who just love being in the water, you know, with their heads underwater, they're in just relaxed and heaven. And we also get the kids who have tried the mainstream sports, and they've either been doing it since they were very little and they want to change, or it just wasn't for them, you know.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's a whole different system of muscles you use, and a whole different approach. It's a very, even though we're a team of swimmers and we train beside each other up and down the pool and we have to work together, what you get out of the sport is very dependent on what you put in.
Yes, yep.
It's not a matter of if the team wins, we've all won, and if the team loses, we've all lost. It's you as an individual.
There's all those personal best goals sort of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good. It's good for those sort of kids who aren't necessarily...
The hand-eye coordination sort of stuff.
Well, you do need quite a bit of coordination, and sometimes we do. We will do some of that really basic. I forgot what it's called, but I know you do it in primary school. You know, touching your nose. And
oh yes, yep, yep.
All that sort of stuff. Just knowing where your body is in the water to make it efficient in the water, so you actually are actually using the water to work with you rather than fighting against it.
Because it is very much a different sensation to being, you know, out in the open air. That you've got that the difference. I'm not sure whether it's a gravitational thing, but yeah, the pull and the push.
The forces of there's this thing called Bernoulli's principle. It's like aeroplane wings. You know, if you're going through the water and the water goes over the top of you, and what your body position is in the water determines whether you're sort of swimming into a brick wall or whether the water's kind of almost sucking you forward, sort of thing.
So it's just
that's
as
not
much
a very scientific explanation at all.
I was just going to say, though, but that is very much sports science as well.
Well, there is, and it's stuff that I've studied over the years, but you tend to break it all down to really quite simple stuff after a while. And I remember when my dad was coaching, and I would come away from all these courses, and I'd say, you know, what this is happening here is this and this and this. And he said, so what you're saying is you do some sprints here, and you do some long stuff here, and you, you know. And now I'm at that stage where I say, actually, when you break it down, what he was telling me was probably spot on without all the fancy terminology. So I'm learning as well all the time.
Well, it's probably that thing. It's one of the few sports that could save your life.
Well, exactly. And you can take it up any time. You know, we get a lot of people, and we are probably largely focused on young people, you know, still around Colac when they're 25. You know, that's probably the premium years from 6 through to 25 sort of thing. But certainly there's a lot of people use the pool, and we meet up and we say hello every morning to them because they're there when we're there, who just do it to stay fit and get their aches and pains out in the morning. And it can save your life, absolutely. I think there's a lot of place for a lot of aquatic sports. I'm a big fan of nippers, even though my kids never had the good fortune to do it, just because, you know, what they teach you about water safety and being a stay afloat and all that sort of stuff, which you learn in a lesson. But once lessons are finished, if you don't continue with some sort of aquatic situation, it's like learning the piano. If you learn the piano for 3 years, if you don't touch it for another five,
back to
basics, you know.
You got to build it all back up again.
Yeah, so you fall in the pool or you fall in the river in particular, something like that, and you're fully dressed and your skills to get out of that situation, you know, I think it's something you can, if you kept swimming all the time, you've got a better idea of how to get yourself out of that.
That's it. So with the whole lockdown situation at the moment, what's the go with the local swimming scene?
Yeah, well, it was quite challenging, you know. As the scenarios changed, we had a presentation night organised for, when we're at the point where we could still have 500 people in a gathering.
Yes, yeah.
And by within 2 or 3 days of that, it got to the point where, you know, your gatherings inside couldn't be more than, you had to be 4 metres apart or something.
Yep, yep, yep.
So we moved to an outside park, and then it changed again. So within a matter of 2 or 3 days, we'd gone from La Paquetas to the Pirate Park up at Limonite to mm-hmm. nothing at all.
Yep, yep.
So it was quite a sudden, and I'm not even sure that all the coaches knew it was off the pool. It got shut one morning.
Yes,
one
yep,
night,
yep.
Sorry. So, yeah, that was quite sudden, and I think the biggest difficulty at the moment is just staying in touch.
Yes, yep.
What I love about being a coach is the connectedness you have with people. So just going in every morning and saying to a group of people, hi, how you going? How'd you sleep last night?
Yep.
How's your mum going? You know, if she's at home or whatever's going on with her mum. Just a little
just a check-in.
Short conversation, that
yep.
connectedness. It's really hard to do that now with these kids, and you have to have a connectedness with them to be able to coach them properly
mm-hmm.
because what you think you see in the water and what they're feeling, to be able to give you more or give you less or how they're perceiving what you're telling them,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important that they have that connection with you to be able to just say what they're feeling and how it's all going for them.
Because we should say that, the training that is involved with swimming can be, quite intense. It can be mind over matter over times.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things, my group, I get the older kids, and so with them I keep a lot of statistics. And I'll never forget, I had a girl called Jess Mackay, Dr. Anne Mackay's daughter,
mm-hmm.
and I was asking her to do something in training. She said, I can't do that. And I said, look, Jess, I've got it here on paper. You've done this. and so then, of course, she did it, and she went off to nationals and swam there. Yeah, so it's quite technical the time you get to the older kids.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's possibly a sport that we don't hear as much in the mainstream media of all the amazing successes we have, even at a local level.
Yeah, look, we try to get in the media, and in honesty, the Kylie Herald is very good. I send an article into them, and very rare they won't publish it. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm really impressed with the Kylie Herald in that regard. But yeah, it's a harder sport. You know, we invite everybody to join swimming clubs.
Yep.
And so you can only come one day a week if that's what suits you. But we are a competitive club, and so to get the best out of the sport, you need to be there more often than that. You can't. It's not like footy. You can kick a footy in your backyard.
You need a pool, kicking
the footy. You can't do that. So we need a pool to swim in. We need some water.
That's it. Because you can only practice your stroke so much on the kitchen table.
Yeah, that's right. Although I have seen a Facebook post for a guy lying on a table with a bucket of water putting his face in the water to breathe.
There's been a few Facebook videos at the moment of people, you know, setting up a blow-up pool in the living room and stuff like that. But
there's some good stuff around. There really is some funny stuff. But, so that sort of stuff. But look, we had to go through it when the pool was closed for a couple of years.
Mm, yes.
2013 to 15.
A lot of travel.
Our club got decimated.
Yep.
Because who wants to join a club where the first part of it is travel to Geelong for an hour, especially with little kids. So we're in a process of rebuilding, and even up until sort of 3 weeks before we closed, we had new members coming along and trying it, and they were going to sign up. But so we'll have a little bit of rebuilding to do again.
Again, yes, yep. So what is the best way then for people to find out more about the Colac Swimming Club once we're back in the pool and able to meet with more than two people at a distance of 4 metres?
That's exactly right. We do have a website, so if they just do Google Colac Swimming Club,
mm-hmm.
There's a website there, or they are most welcome to ring me, Deborah Legg, 0439 035 231. And the reason I give you my number is because when you want to join the club, this isn't an essential, but I like to come and see you swim and make sure that your child is in the group that can, where he can or she can most benefit, rather than plonking them somewhere where it's too easy or too hard for
mm-hmm.
them.
Got to be that Goldilocks
zone. That's all about. Either that, our president, Andrew Walters, he's a bit hard to get hold of because he's a local policeman, so he's very busy at the moment. But I think on the website it should have all the contact details anyway.
Definitely, and it's got lots of information there as well about the club and even results and things like that, so people can keep updated with what's happening with the Colac Swimming Club.
Exactly. So, and just to give you information about what you're likely to get into if you do get into it, but we're very much, I'd like to think of us as a very family-oriented club, and so even when we have kids who are registered, there'll be little ones tagging along, so when we have club nights or something, they come along and they have a swim and a race and a, you know, get a sausage or something at the end of these social nights. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for having a chat today.
That's a pleasure, Jonathan.
And we look forward to hearing more about the swimming club once, as we say, the pool is back open and people can get out and about.
Yeah, exactly. It'll all happen.
It will.
Jonathan.
Thanks, Deb. Next summer.